know, I appreciate David. Always does a great job of leading singing, and I appreciate you fixing that song a while ago. You know, not everybody could do that. You just move to another verse, and that takes care of that. Not all men know how to do that. I read a little story the other day about three men who were hiking, and they came upon a large, raging river. And they needed to get across to the other side, but they didn't know exactly how they were going to do that. So anyway, the first man said, as he prayed unto God, he said, God, give me the strength to cross this river. And in just a moment, God gave him big arms and strong legs, and he swims across the raging river. Takes him about 2 hours, but he makes it. Seeing this, the second man begins to pray, God, give me strength and the tools to cross this river. Well, in just a few moments, God gave him a rowboat, and he rows across the raging river. Takes him about 90 minutes, but he makes it. Seeing this, the third man said, God, give me the strength and the tools and the intelligence to cross this river. And after a few moments, God turned him into a woman. She looks at the map, hikes upstream for 50 yards, and then walks across the bridge. Now, you know that didn't happen. You know that men are much smarter than women. And all the men said, amen. Amen. Yes. Yeah. You know, we live in a world today where what we call fashionable has really changed. In today's America, it is fashionable to bully God, as I said this morning, out of existence. Today in America, it is fashionable to be promiscuous. It is fashionable to live together prior to marriage. It is fashionable to be a homosexual. It is fashionable to kill unborn children, as we mentioned this morning. It is fashionable to label as homophobic, bigoted, hate-mongering, self-righteous, narrow-minded, elitist, anyone who shows the slightest inkling of character or morality. Do you know that the Church of Jesus Christ is allowing our nation, and I really believe this, to slide headlong into a quagmire of moral relativism where only the truth embraced is that there is no truth and that there is nothing absolutely right or absolutely wrong? And our hands-off approach in our country today has resulted in the decay of morality, and truth jeopardizes our real freedom. Every day, we apathetically sit by and watch it happen. You know, not only does it happen perhaps in some of the areas that I have mentioned, but it also happens in the area of stealing. Now, you probably hadn't heard a sermon on stealing in a long time. I haven't preached one, but I want to talk to you tonight about stealing and why it's wrong. And the reason I say that is the fact that we live in a world today where a lot of people have no feelings about stealing. Whether it be breaking into your home and taking something that doesn't belong to them, or whether it be what we call white-collar crime, it is still wrong. Have you ever stopped to wonder just how honest is the average person? The eighth commandment of God in the Old Testament, we find in the book of Exodus 20 and verse 15, is this statement, thou shalt not steal. And yet we see people stealing all over America tonight, all the way from our nation's capital right down to Palestine, Texas. Time magazine reported just recently of 7,044 people who were unemployed, 52% were not hired because they had previous experience in stealing and taking something that did not belong to them. Isn't that amazing? We need to teach our children that stealing is wrong, and you don't take from someone that which is not yours. We need to teach them the lesson on integrity again and trustworthiness, and that they ought to be people of integrity, and that they ought to be honest. Someone said not long ago that honesty is a good policy if it works. Well, it does work. And God says that we are to be honest in all things. Prove that which is good. Well, let me share with you tonight very quickly three things that I think that are so important that you and I need to learn about this idea of stealing. One of them is we must respect what God has given to other people. Do you know what you have in your possession tonight? You came into possession with it in one of either three ways. You either stole it, and I'm certainly not suggesting that you did, but you either stole it or you worked for it and you earned it. Or thirdly, you received it as a gift. It doesn't matter if it's a diamond or if it's a piece of candy. Thieves fail to remember that God sees through the darkness and behind the mask of truth. He knows what people do. And you know what? I think it was Abraham Lincoln who once said, "You may fool the people part of the time, but you won't fool all the people all the time." I think I've got that quote right. And you won't. And you don't ever fool God any of the time. When you take something that does not belong to you, that is stealing. And you know, we've almost relegated everything that people do today to some kind of illness. If a man goes and steals, maybe from a department store, then we say that he is a kleptomaniac. He's not a thief or a robber anymore. He's just sick. In the book of Job 34, verse 21 and 22, Job said, "For his eyes," and he talks about God's eyes, he says, "For his eyes are upon the ways of mankind, and he seeth all of his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where that worker may hide his iniquity." You cannot hide from God. God knows what you do. God knows whether you're stealing. God knows that if you're out there at the job and you're taking from your employer, that is theft and it is wrong. And there's no way you can make it right. Shoplifting, hiding things underneath your clothes, and it happens a lot of times. Do you know that between 1 million and 1.5 million stole something last year in America? Isn't that amazing? You have to wonder, what in the world are we teaching people? And where is their value system? What really is important to them? You know, even thieves do not want to live among thieves. They want to live among righteous folk, where they don't have to worry about somebody stealing from them or taking that which does not belong to them. Did you know that $25,000 of merchandise are stolen every minute, according to statistics in the United States of America? Every minute. Think about that. $25,000. And you know what that translates to? That means that what happens is that the business, whoever is selling that merchandise, has to up their prices to compensate for either employee theft or people who walk through the doors of their building and or their business and take what does not belong to them. U.S. retailers last year lost over $3 billion in employee theft last year. Now consider that one. Adam, I know that doesn't happen to you out at Walmart. But you have a lot of it, I'm sure. I'm not saying your employees do, but I'm sure you have people that walk through the doors, do you not? Is that not a big problem in any business? It is. I used to have a friend here. As a matter of fact, you may remember David Beard. David Beard had Catfish King here in Palestine for a number of years. And anyway, I asked David one time. He's a very faithful member of the Lord's Church and always attends gospel meetings when up in the Northeast Texas area. We played guitars together. And I asked him, I said, David, why didn't you close the store in Palestine? He said, I'll tell you why I closed the store in Palestine. Employee theft. I could not get a manager who would not keep from stealing from me or employees. He said, I knew what we were putting into that business and what was coming in. And I knew somewhere along the way it was going out the door. You remember Slotsky's out here? The man that owns Slotsky's is a very good friend of mine also. He lived in Clyde, Texas. I held a gospel meeting there a number of years ago. I asked him the same question. You know what he said? Employee theft. Can't stay in Palestine. I hope that word didn't get out all over East Texas. Probably did now. We're on the internet. But anyway. But isn't that a shame? Isn't it? We need to teach our children that it is wrong to steal. The word of God came to Amos, who was a great prophet in the Old Testament, and the book of Amos chapter 8 and verse 4 and following there, he prophesies against the people. Listen to what he says. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn? And the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit. Let me ask you a question. If someone were to give you back too much money in change, would you report it? Would you give it back to them? Or would you say, this is my lucky day? What would you say? Now just stop and think about this a minute. You know what? If the role was reversed, think about it. And you were on the other side of the counter, how would you feel? Stealing is wrong. Always has been. It was one of the first laws of God. And it still is. So we must teach our children. But there's a second thing. We must release what God wants us to give to Him. Two things that you possess that God wants, and according to the Bible, is that God wants your talent. He does. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, I don't have time to give God my talent. I have to use it in so many different other areas. I've seen people extremely talented in the church, teachers who will not teach, who will not take on the responsibility of teaching young children about God, but they will teach in a public school setting. Now, I know this is right down where the rubber meets the road tonight. But God wants your talent. And there are some extremely gifted and talented people in this church. But sometimes we will not give God what He wants. God wants your money. Does He need it? No, He don't need it. Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All belongs to Him. Cattle on a thousand hills. It's all His. But sometimes people want to hold on to that. You know what? It's a test of faith in actuality. God is testing us to see what really is important to us in our lives. Someone said, if I was going to steal, I wouldn't steal from the one who gave the commandment not to steal. Well, it didn't bother some folks. Let me tell you something to begin with. Do you know that what you have in your possession is not yours? It's not. We're only stewards. You know what a steward is? It comes from the Greek word steward, and it actually means the overseer of something that belongs to someone else. And so the money you have actually belongs to God. Your talent belongs to God. All of it. Everything you have. Your car belongs to God. By the way, Adam, I told you God's car got bunged up out at Walmart the other day, didn't it? I was driving my truck down through the Walmart aisle out there, and a lady from Buffalo just backed right into me. I have to admit, I thought, oh, my truck. But then I thought, oh, God, it's yours. All that we have, or all that we possess, is owned by God. He owns it all. And God can take it back any time that he wants it. Job learned that. Job was a very wealthy man. He had everything in the world going for him. He had great herds of cattle. He had a wonderful wife. He had a family. He had children. He had anything in the world that he wanted, the richest man in the East. The Bible tells us that God finally decided to take back. And he allowed the devil to really scheme and take away all of that from Job, what God had given to him. And he told the devil, he says, you can take it all back, but there's one thing you can't take, and that's the gift of life. I've given it to him, and no one has the power to do it. And he did. He allowed the Chaldeans to come and steal from Job. That's what they did. But you know what? They didn't steal was his character, his integrity, and his great faith in God. People may take your money, but they can't take your faith. God can take it away anytime. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, Acts 20 and verse 35. Now, I'm not offering a pop quiz here tonight, and certainly I'm not looking for a public expression of agreement, but just stop and think about that. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that it is that you are more blessed by giving than receiving? There's a third thing I want you to know hurriedly, and that is that we have to rely on what God has given to us. The real sin of breaking the eighth commandment of God is refusing to trust God to give you your needs. You know, sometimes we get the feeling that we need more than we really need. Sometimes we get the feeling that, you know, hey, God just doesn't know what I need, and our need has suddenly become greed more than need. And greed controls people. It was greed that caused a rich man in the book of Luke chapter 12 to lose his soul and caused God to call him a fool. It was greed that caused a rich man in the book of Luke chapter 16 to die and lose his soul in a devil's hell and cry out in torment, asking God to spare him and show his mercy upon him. It is greed that causes people to do those things that are wrong in the world. Filthy greed. The Bible calls it filthy lucre. But God is one who meets our need. In the book of Exodus chapter 20, Jehovah, and by the way, Jehovah is called by a number of names. If you go down the hall, you'll see where Josh and some of the young people have put the name God right in the center on the wall. And around that name God, you will see various names that are given to Jehovah in the Bible, many of them. And one of them is Jehovah Jireh. And the word Jehovah Jireh just means that God will provide. It is the same thing that Abraham said to young Isaac when he carried him up Mount Moriah to sacrifice his life on an altar. For Isaac had asked the question. He says, Lord, he says, Father, he says, we have the wood and we're ready, but he says, where is the sacrifice? Little did he know he was talking about himself. And Abraham looked very intently into the eyes of his young promised son, the son of promise, and he said to him, "Son, God will provide." And God did provide. And for the first 19 chapters in the book of Exodus, you'll find provision after provision for the people of God. When they were thirsty, God provided water at Rephidim and Kadesh Barnea. And when they were hungry, God allowed manna to fall from heaven and quail every day. He didn't give them beyond a daily amount, however, because he wanted to remind them every day that God supplies our daily bread. And doesn't Jesus want us to do the same thing? In the model prayer, he taught the disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." That's why I think people ought to offer prayers every day to God for what we have, because God is the one who gives us all things. And when Israel stood at the brink of the Red Sea, and it looked as though their demise was inevitable, the Bible, the people of Pharaoh and his armies were coming up on them very swiftly. In front of them was the Red Sea. And God told Moses to lift up his hands and stretch his rod out across the sea. And when he did, the waters parted. And Moses looked at that water that had been parted. And he said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." God met their need. Let me tell you something tonight as a Christian. I know people always think, "Well, I need this," or "I want this. I want to have this. I can't be happy unless I have it." Let me tell you something. If you don't have it, you probably don't really need it. Now, I know that's not very pleasing to the ear, but it's true. For Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, "My God shall supply all of your need." And if God supplies all of our need, that just simply translates to the fact that if we do not have it, then we don't need it. Now, sometimes people think they need it, and it's more of a covetous desire to have something. And you know, isn't it amazing how we do this? Somebody else gets something, we feel like we've got to have that. We are people that are controlled by other people, not by our needs, but by our greeds. Someone gets a new car, "Hey, I need a new car." Someone gets a new house, "Hey, you know what? My old chamois over here doesn't look so good. I need to get a new house." Even young people do the same thing. Everybody has one. Gotta have it. We are people that are controlled by greed and not by need. And so that third point is that we have to rely upon what God has given unto us. Don't go thinking that I can steal and get away with it. You don't. You don't. Jesus, in the book of Matthew 6, verse 31 through 33, said to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things should be added unto you. You know why a lot of people don't have? You know why a lot of people don't have food and shelter and clothing? You know why they don't have what they need? Is because they're not seeking the kingdom of God first. That's exactly why. Because if this is a promise that he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and these things shall be added unto you, I'm convinced that when people truly seek the kingdom of God and the power of God and put him first in their lives, God meets them at the point of their need. David said, "I've been young and I've been old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's people begging bread." If you do not get from God what you think you need, it is because God does not think you need it. It's wrong to steal. And even though it may be fashionable in some circles, and even though a lot of people tonight feel it's okay, if you can get by with it, it is still wrong. And you may not have to answer. You may walk out of Walmart. You may walk out of Brookshire's. You may walk out of Bell's and JCPenney's with something that does not belong to you. And you know what? The manager may never catch you. But you know what? There's a greater judge to whom you'll stand accountable. And someday you will. Time doesn't erase it or efface it or take it away. And we will give an account. And so I hope tonight, and I'm not trying to sound like you're a bunch of thieves, but I want to remind you, and it is so important that all of us be reminded every day that what is not ours, I don't care how you go about getting it or trying to take it, if it doesn't belong to you, it doesn't belong to you. And it's something that all of us need to be reminded of as well. God reminded Israel. I'm reminding you tonight because it is something that is dealt with in the Old and the New Testament time and time again. You don't believe it, go to Revelation 21, verse 8, where it talks about hell. Hell is not only filled with the extortioners and with the adulterers and liars, but the Bible also mentions those who are thieves. And so it's so important. So I hope tonight that God will remind. By the way, I want you to know that these watermelons are not stolen watermelons. So you may eat freely tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, then you're stealing from God precious time. You're taking from Him the very thing that He wants, and that's your life. And He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to obey Him tonight. And if you're a Christian and you know that you've strayed away from God and you need to come back to Him again, you're robbing God of your time and your energy. And time is so precious, isn't it? Just think about what you could be doing for God tonight if you were really busy in serving Him. While we stand and while we sing.